Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus is in the midst of the what's known as the farewell discourse in John. It is in the upper room. He's already done communion. He has washed their feet as he does in John. He has already given them his one commandment to love one another. This is how people will know you are my disciple, if you have love for one another. And now he gives them this kind of word of encouragement. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. May the fourth be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. All right. Yes, I know that's a couple days after the fact, but you know, the old Star Wars fan in me still clings to that. You know, one of the things that's out now, you know, it's been out for a while, it's just finished its third season, is this TV show called The Mandalorian. It's about, you know, this bounty hunter. But you realize and you learn, even if you haven't done a lot of anything else with Star Wars, the Mandalorians are a people. It comes from a planet. The Mandalorians, though, are not really just geographically isolated in that regard. It is about a creed. And every time this group of Mandalorians got together and they made a decision, and they always reflected back to their tradition, the response was at the end, this is the way. And everyone would then repeat, this is the way, all right? Now, because of the popularity of the TV show, there's a number of interesting spin-off businesses. It is always amazing how people will seek to make money off of anything. There is a whole bunch of diet shops that are now known as This Is The Way. There is protein powder out there to build up muscle mass called This Is The Way. And you can now download on your phone a new direction app called This Is The Way. And hopefully you realize that none of that way is true. And in fact, you might be scratching your heads going, okay, in each of those instances, you might have used a different word that just sounds like way. Was it W-E-I-G-H, W-H-E-Y, or W-A-Y? Those great homophones that we have in English that mean very different things. This is the way. And in all honesty, some of those puns, such as they were, you could use a variety of those spellings within it. That's part of the joy of puns. is how a word that is not normally associated with one thing but implies something else can sound like but take it in an entirely different direction. Do any of you know yet why I tell those puns and those kinds of puns at the beginning of a sermon? Because I want you paying attention to the words. But also I want you paying attention to the fact that words are a lot bigger Gesundheit than just what we tend to narrowly define them as. How many times have we had to go and look up a word in the dictionary and go, I didn't know it meant all of those things. As my Hebrew and Old Testament teacher in seminary used to say, that pretty much most Semitic languages, each word has four meanings. The usual common meaning, a word that means something almost entirely opposite, the part of a camel, and something you can't repeat in mixed company. And you know, the translators have the joy of trying to figure out which one it is. And then we add in imagery. If you have a good study Bible and you open up the Psalms, one of the most common footnotes under there is meaning of Hebrew uncertain. Think back to some of you growing up listening to Beatles lyrics and try to explain that to someone in 150 years. Rolled up like a deuce in the middle of the night? Figure that one out. Imagery that is meant by the use of words to invite us in and to create something far larger and far greater. Guess what? It happened in the beginning, when the world was formless and void, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep, and then God said, let there be, and there was. Words have power. Words have amazing power, and not always for good. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Have you ever dealt with someone who has been mercilessly picked on and belittled most of their lives? They were never hit. But those words hurt. Words can create, words can destroy. Jesus is sitting in the midst of his disciples, having just broke to them the news that they are going to betray him. In fact, the verses right before is him telling them that, and Peter going, no, Lord, I will defend you to the end. No, Peter, truly I tell you, you're going to deny me not just once, not just twice, but three times. And then he starts. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have not told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Do you hear the promise of comfort and security? Not just the empty words of don't be afraid, but also the reason why. Do we believe in God and believe in Him to trust that promise? Sad fact is a little bit later on there, in trying to straighten Thomas out again, Jesus says something that has caused all told manner of problems. Words that were meant to create space and peace and hope that have been weaponized over time. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Did you ever wonder why on this day when the gospel reading is this wonderful, impassioned reminder of the promise of God in Jesus Christ to go ahead and prepare a place for you and come back and lead you to Him, and the peace that is supposed to come from that, and the certainty and the joy that comes in that, even in the midst of all kinds of struggle? And that get paired with the lesson of Stephen being brutally executed by stoning? Do you think that the only reason is because, well, for all of the early martyrs of the church, they heard that and they went, yay? To a point, yes. They weren't afraid of death anymore, which is why they didn't mind, weren't worried about being martyred. But it also was the same reason why they weren't worried about when they gave their food to someone else who was hungry, or when they went and took care of the sick and the dying, and they dealt with people who probably were infectious and might have shared the plague with them and all those other things. That was witnessing too. Not just whether or not you were going to say something amazing while being stoned to death, but also while you were caring for the least of these, even if in such a way it would cause your own death. There's stories from northern Italy when the plague was happening in about the mid-second century that some of the cities were quarantined. The Roman army camped outside, and anybody coming out of the city was shot with arrows. And they found people sneaking through their lines, not coming out of the city, but going into the city. It was these darn Christians. There were sick and dying people in those cities. But why would you go and do that? Because He goes ahead and prepares a place for me. Because He is the way, the truth, the life. But in the same token, that same promise, that same reminder of what Jesus is and what Jesus calls us to be has been used in ways that are just frightening. Things that have been done to our neighbors that were downright unneighborly because, well, they were wrong. What were they wrong about? Well, even in the TV show The Mandalorian, you later find out that this particular group of Mandalorians that the lead is a part of is actually a part of a subset of a sect of people who were terrorists before, because they were the extremists. They were the people who were the purists who were going to do it, and this is the way. Even if it meant someone else's destruction, someone else's. Because the most important thing to them was being right. Being pure in their understanding of way and truth and life. Sometimes we get, you know, it's like, well, I have the truth. And I always think of a few good men. You can't handle the truth. You realize that a couple chapters after this, when Jesus is in front of Pilate, Pilate point blank asks Jesus, "What is truth?" Do you know his answer? If you do, it came from some other source than here, because there is nothing. Do you think maybe that's because the truth is something larger than just a set of words that we probably might then turn around on each other? Especially since just before he tells them this, he says, hey folks, you want the answer, you want my one commandment, you want the sign that everyone will know you are my disciple? Love one another. Do you realize that's the way? In the truth? And the life? Because what was Jesus' way? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So he was the one that went to the margins and the edges, to the people who were hurting, the ones who were broken, who fed them and healed them, included them. That was his life. That was the truth that he lived. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And that he did this for the world, for you. Believe in God. Believe also in Jesus. He prepares a place for us and he comes and leads us to himself. And it is that way and that truth and that life that he embodies. And he embodied it in such a way that a young man named Saul, who stood there and accepted and encouraged and approved of the ritual killing of Stephen, would later on write things like, neither slave nor free, Gentile or Jew, male or female, all are one in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Grace and peace be with you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. And no one had to beat him in order to make that happen. He was loved even by those disciples who were afraid, because they knew what he was there to do. But Jesus reminded them. In this world, there's lots of things that want to tell you to be afraid, especially of your neighbor, of the other. That is the way. You must fight for truth. And of course, isn't it interesting how often truth is weaponized? In such a way that someone else's life can be negated, someone else's existence can be diminished or belittled. Is that the way, the truth, the life of Christ? For he went to the cross and said, it is finished. He went to the cross and said, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. The one that went ahead and prepared a place came back, and Stephen saw, and there's the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Father. Do not hold this sin against them. How might we follow in that way? How might that be part of our truth? How might that be seen in our lives? Well, as Jesus continues the next two verses in John 14, Jesus just simply says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. And so let us remind ourselves of that gift of that advocate in our baptism. If you repeat after me these promises of God to you. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. May the advocates continue to show you the way. May that Spirit of truth lead you into all truth. And may the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ lead you into new life. For God so loved you. So remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.